Good morning.
The Bible reading today is taken from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and we'll be reading from verses 22 through 25. That's Galatians, chapter 5, 22 through 25. And it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are in Christ, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." This ends the Bible reading.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day. Sun is shining. It's just wonderful. I'd like to welcome Sister Bernie with us visiting. We welcome you with us, Monique, who's returning back from Bermuda again. So we're glad to have you here again. And we're thankful you brought the sunshine with you as well. So we're just thrilled to have you here. To any of our visitors, Sister Hannah's friend Janet is with us today. We want to welcome you on behalf of the congregation. And what we like to do, and I hope you don't mind, we'd like to give a gift when people come visit. So if you don't mind, I'd love to give you this on behalf of the congregation and welcome you into our centre. So thank you for being here. And to any visitors who are here, if I've not had a chance to meet you yet, please let yourself be known so that we can meet you and greet you and just... We want you to feel welcome because this is God's house. This is where we worship. This is our meeting place. We're a group of Christians. We're here to serve our great King, our great God. We strive to follow the words in the Bible. We don't want to mislead people. We don't want to misrepresent God. But we want to do everything according to Scripture to the best that we can and to give honour and glory to God. Because everybody in this room, those who are Christians, have all had to find Christ. And what a blessing it is when you do find Him and you have that joy of knowing Him. And Galatians 5, I'm going to do a lesson based on the fruit of the Spirit. But there was a couple of things in there. But what I wanted to draw attention to is this. And it's, you know, within there it talks about self-control. And often when we think of self-control in the Bible, we almost think as if it's talking about being out of control, and so it's talking about being in control. But often when I look at this passage, I think about the fact that we control our lives. In other words, the direction, everybody's here today because you controlled yourself to be here. You know, no one's here because they've been dragged along. Now, some of the children with the parents, of course, that's a different story altogether, you know. But I wouldn't like to say that they've been dragged here, you know, that they want to be here, knowing the joy that they see in how their parents respond to God's holy word, and so that wanting to be here. But do you know, we have to control our own destinations in reference to what controls us, what guides our life, what brings us to where we are in our lives. You know, we can find ourselves in all kinds of predicaments, all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues. What we have to do is we have to figure out how we're going to control ourselves away from these things. Now, when we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, of course, we talk about love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and all the things contained within there, faithfulness, gentleness and so on. It talks about self-control and I realise that our lives, we have to control it. That's difficult, you know, that can be really difficult. Now, if you have a car, if you was to say you control your car, I wouldn't say that you control your car so you don't just crash your car, but you control your car because you want to steer it in the direction you need to go. If you get in your vehicle, you want to get to the destination that you plan to travel to.
And so this morning, as we all travelled in our cars, we were steering wheels and heading here. So part of that control was this. In the Word of God, there was a blind man. And this blind man was there, and Jesus saw him. And he saw this man was blind, and Jesus spat in the ground, and he made a clay, and he rubbed it in his eyes, and he said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And the man controlled himself and steered himself to the pool of Siloam, where he went to wash, and he came back seeing. The lame man, of course, you want to get well. And here's this man. He's been lame, and he's sitting next to the pool of Bethsaida, and there's no one to put him into the water when the water stirred. And he wanted to be healed, and he wanted to recover. And Jesus says, "Do you want to be well?" And he said, "Yes, I want to be well." And he says, "Well, pick up your mat and walk." In other words, stand up. And so the man controlled his mind, and he controlled himself, and he stood up, and he made that choice. And so, in our lives, brethren, self-control, of course, is important, because we need self-control to show love. We need self-control to be at peace. All of these things come through how we control ourselves. The long sufferings that we have to go through, we need control, self-control, to persevere through them. Otherwise, we would give up. We would give up. We would have no joy in our life, because our life would constantly be going downhill. We'd certainly have no peace, no goodness, no faithfulness, no gentleness. These are the things and the attributes that the people are looking in you. These are the things that the people see in your life. And so self-control is required in so many ways. Of course, it's required in how we live as Christians. Also is very much to do with how we become Christians as well. So this message is for everybody. The Word of God is saying we have to be in control of our lives. You know, we have to be able to take control. You know, so many people in this world today are led away from the truth, and they're often led away from the truth because they control themselves into places where they're getting the wrong teaching. And the Word of God says here it is. And so we need to be focused on trying to get an understanding into what God wants. Brethren, if you were to live a Christian life successfully, then we need this virtue of self-control. We need to be in control. We need to have this self-control. It is critical. And probably one of the hardest the things sometimes to take on. You go to the prisons and you'll find a lot of people are in the prison because they lack self-control. You know, whether they've committed a crime of abuse, or even a crime of taking something that didn't belong to them, or a crime of doing something illegal. It was all about themselves and the choice that they made. I remember when I was a preacher up in Yorkshire, and there was one of the brothers used to do a prison ministry, and I used to go with him to Wakefield Prison. We would go and meet the inmates and talk with them about scripture and speak with them, and often, you know, sometimes be quite open about the things that they had done, and sometimes they weren't so open about it, but every single one of them said, "I wish I could turn the clocks back. And I wish I had a bit more control over myself at that time." And so the prison was filled with these people who allowed themselves to be out of control. Now, we may not go to that extreme, but listen, there is nothing more extreme than finding ourselves out of heaven because we couldn't control. We couldn't take control of our life. And I'm not talking about erratic behavior, but I'm just talking about trying to live as Christians, trying to control ourselves daily, and to avoid the things that are damaging, to avoid the things that are polluting us, to avoid the things that are pulling us away, the things that will entice us and take us away. You know, the hospital sometimes can have people who are in there through lack of self-control. You know, it might be that they're not in, you know, maybe taking drugs or smoking and filling their lungs and inhaling this nicotine, or it could be that they take overdoses, or they have too much alcohol, all kinds of things. Sometimes it's an innocent accident, of course, and not everybody in hospital is there because they lack control. But there can be people who aren't looked after their bodies, and so in a way, that kind of puts them there. And of course, the clinics, you know, we think of many, many people who, for whatever the reasons, you know, and not to put them down at all, because people are in these clinics for alcoholism and for drugs and all kinds of things that they find themselves in, where somewhere along the line their life lost its path. And sadly, you know, that path was taking them down a road that led them into very tricky situations. So I say, how wise is our God when we see the importance of being in control? Now, of course, we have to be in control of our temperament. You know, when we look at the passage, and certainly when we're looking in Galatians 5, this aspect of temperament, controlling, is about being very clear, having a very clear focus. Because the problem, or the resolving of this problem, is not an automatic gift. God doesn't wait you. Listen, I didn't jump in a car and suddenly start driving really well. In fact, many years ago, I took my HGV. So when I was running a haulage business, I went out and I drove articulated trucks. And we would go and buy them, and so I'd have to go over and test run them and things like that. And I learned to drive in a truck. Well, listen, he's got 18 years. 18! I thought it was a lot of six. 18 years. And I had to learn to drive that. It didn't happen overnight, it takes time. Babies have no self-control. New mothers, you know your babies when they're born, they don't have self-control. You know, they're not going to take themselves to the restroom. They're not going to suddenly decide, I'm going to go and make myself something to eat, or I'm going to eat what is good for me. They, you know, you're attending to them and taking care of them. So self-control is just like that. It's something that has to be developed. Something that we have to grow within ourselves and mature and master. Because by gaining self-control and by mastering it, will make our lives so much better. It needs to be developed within us with the assistance, of course, don't forget, the Holy Spirit. The gift that we receive when we give our lives to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we receive Him, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what we need to do to cultivate this in our lives, we have to adapt, brethren, this virtue. We have to adapt this process and learn it well. Because it will help us in so many ways. Self-control means that when I'm going to make a bad decision, my self-control says it's not a good decision. Self-control is the thing that when I'm going to get angry, it says, you've got to calm down. You've got to control it and calm down. You cannot harm your brother or sister. Or self-control tells me that, you know, I'm going to have to cut back on what I'm spending my money on. Because maybe I'm taking just too much of what God is giving me for myself. Maybe I have to have a bit of control about how I utilise the gift that God has given. What an incredible Bible class this morning. Outstanding. It was outstanding. Boy, if that doesn't wake us up. You know, our lives need to adapt. Our lives need to develop. And the way it happens is this. Brethren, we need to know God's word. We need to know God's word. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then of course we read the famous bit, all scripture is inspired. It's by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, equipped for every good work. You want self-control in your life as a Christian, learn the scriptures. Get in the Bible studies. Oh, this morning, you know, just sitting there and feeding off the word and listening to this incredible lesson from Matthew's gospel. And learning about all these things that are so important in our life. This is the thing that enables us to steer our lives, to control our lives. We cannot take control of our lives if we haven't equipped ourselves with the Holy Word of God. We have to know Him. Our will must be aligned with God. If it's not aligned, it's not compatible. Because, you know, anything that is against God's will, it collides. It doesn't go. It doesn't fit together. Listen, when we align ourselves with God, I promise you this, it will give you peace. You align your will with God, you will wake up at peace every day. Are you getting up every day and you've got no peace? You're feeling churned over, your life is falling apart. Align yourself with God. It takes self-control, but it brings peace. It brings harmony. You know, harmony when you listen to an orchestra playing and it all harmonizes together, or a cappella singing, of course, as we know, when you've got the tenors and the altos and the sopranos and the bass, and all these singers sing together and it blends and it harmonizes and it sounds good. That is what knowing God's word will do for you. And more importantly, it will bring self-control. Because you will know how to control yourself as a Christian. You won't get God's word from just me or other people. You have to go in here and feed in this holy world. You have to dig in here and read it. Just open your Bible every day, and read your scriptures. Because this is what it does for us. Listen, you want self-control, I want you to know the dangers. Okay, so now I'm going to the danger side. I drive my car, and I'm learning to drive, and my driving instructor says, now Paul, when you are slowing down, give yourself plenty of time, and make sure you've got your gear in mind, and make sure your clutch is down, and you've got to do all these things, and you've got to slow down in time. Don't go racing up. What's he doing? He's telling me that if I don't do that, I'm not going to stop. I can come to a junction, fly over the junction, and have a road accident. Know the dangers. Know the dangers. When you don't have self-control in your life, there are dangers with that. Matthew 5:29. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. That's big. Oh my goodness me, my right hand is causing its eye. It's sin, and he's saying, take it out. It's better to lose your eye than to sin. Because sin, the consequences of sin is death. And so, it's the worst case. But this is the example. If it causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. I don't believe anybody in here wants to go to hell. I don't believe it. We wouldn't be here. But what I do believe is this, that we've got to exercise the things that God is teaching. All the lessons we're having, we've got to adapt these things and utilize it in our lives. And we have to enable God's amazing word to control. Help us to take control of our life. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast in hell. In other words, listen, there are things in our lives we have to start controlling. I've got to say, I'm going to keep this habit. Or I'm going to change this temperament. Or I'm going to learn to be a better loving person. I'm going to be more patient with my brothers and sisters. I'm going to control these things. And it's not easy. But I'll use God's word to help me. And through developing my life and changing my life, I'm going to control my journey because I want to make heaven. And this danger in Matthew 5:29 to me tells me the seriousness of sin. That it is referred to as, listen, if you can't kick it, you're better off without whatever is causing it. You better not think I'm all of that. Beware of the danger of lack of control in your life. Just like in your car, there's not one car driver that won't be aware of the danger. Satan tries to control a small part of your life. Did you know that? One little part. He only has to get you to look at something inappropriately. Or he only has to get you to think of something in your mind. Or he only has to get you to be tempted just to take a little something. I'll just take a pen. Or I'll just take something from work. Or I'll have that. The weakest point will be all they use it. Whatever your weakest point is, that's what Satan will go for. So if your weakest point is lust, he'll give you some pornography to look. If your weakest point is, you know, greed, well, he'll throw you loads of opportunities to make lots of money. Satan tries to control the weakest point. That is the bit that we have to take control of. You know, alcohol. Many people who become alcoholics never started off to be an alcoholic. People who would do gambling, maybe just had one little go, and maybe just doubled their £10 note to another £20 note. People who, you know, initially just had a bit of a temper, it becomes bigger, and it becomes bigger. You know, until eventually something happens, then they snap and there's a road accident or something has happened through anger and through greed. It is better to lose the thing that causes the stumbling in your life. Lose it. Take control. You see, I can't take that for you. I can't come along and do that for you. I can't get into your mind and change your mind. Just as much as you can. You can warn me, and you can come up and keep telling me, and you can say, Paul, you're going to have to change your life. I want to say that to be in control of your life will mean at times that you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. You may not fit in the crowd. You may be the odd one out at work. Maybe they're going to have some great big party at some great big event and everything's paid for, the hotel rooms and all the drinks are free and all the food are free, and you think to yourself, you know what, I don't think I'm going to go tonight. And everyone's saying at work, why didn't you come? Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires, know that, remember we said control, if anyone desires to come after me. He doesn't say, hey, you come after me. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, when Jesus took up his cross, of course, he went to be crucified. In other words, that was a pain. That was a suffering that he did for you and me. He denied himself. And he allowed himself to become the person, the lamb, the sacrificial lamb on a cross for each one of us. So, I say this, that constantly in your life you will discover that control of your life will be a constant battle. And I defy anyone in this room to tell me you're not battling with something, because we all are. We are battling with something. And maybe, you know, maybe you just got something dealt with. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. But you will continue with this constant battle. And the devil knows it. And the devil is seeking to get you to stop. But I'm always encouraged by 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Was Jesus a man on this earth? He was a man on this earth. He says in the Bible, no temptation has overtaken you. In other words, no temptation has come before you that is common to man, that Jesus himself as a man on this earth did not experience. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Do you know what I love about this passage? There's two things in here. The first thing is, he says, he'll provide an escape. And the second thing he says is that you may bear it. And what I read from this passage is this. The problem won't always go away. There'll be an escape, but you're going to have to persevere. And you may have to persevere a long time. And so what he says is, there'll be an escape, but I'll make sure that it's something that you can bear. And this is part of gaining self-control, this constant battle in our life, is don't let the things come along that pull you away from the battle that you're on. Nothing is new. Remember that. These temptations are common to man. You know, we struggle with things and you think it's just me. I'm the only one in this congregation with a problem. Listen, we're all struggling. Every one of us have got things that we're fighting every day, because this is what it's about. This is why this congregation is so important. Because we need each other. Because we're all struggling. We're all dealing with the temptations that are common to man. I want you to know that sometimes you can escape, and sometimes you'll just be required to endure. Allowing God in control helps endurance. In other words, what keeps me focused? What makes me stop doing things? I'm walking down the street. Listen, the sun is here now. You see some of the clothing that people wear in the streets. What am I going to do? I'm walking behind somebody dressed inappropriately. Yeah, I need to cross the road and get on the other side. I need to find myself away from things that are polluting. 1 Peter 4 verse 1, therefore since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Jesus went through these things. Peter says, I can see the self-control from sin because I see the suffering taking place in your life. Say no to the devil and he will force new problems. And that is the journey that we are on. And so we have to stay controlled, because Jesus was focused on all of the same things. Yes, he was God, but the Word became flesh. He gave up all his position and rights to come down to this earth as a man. And he suffered and endured so much, but he maintained control of his life. And so we need to understand that. And be prepared also to rejoice as you release. Because do you know when you're in control of your life, it's a release. You know, what a release when you see the world around you getting it all wrong. And you just think to yourself, I'm not going to fall for that. I'm not going to fall for that. And then maybe there's some habit that you've had in your life and you just let you get rid of it. What a release. A release from the slavery of the things that the devil, the God with a small g of this earth, puts on us. And it's a fantastic feeling when you are delivered from a temptation. When an opportunity comes and you stand up and say no, what a release. What a powerful position to be in. Self-control produces deliverance. And what I say is this, that what we need to do is we need to look to each other. And I think that is very important. I also think about this. Who do you pattern your life upon? You know, who is the one that you are looking to? Pattern your life on Christians. Pattern your life on the winners. Imitate people who are worth imitating. Those who dwell in spiritual living. Those who say, hey, come over here, let's all pray together. Come over here, let's read God's word. Let's study. Let's pray together. Those who dwell in spiritual living. Not perfect people, And I'm talking about people who are thriving and trying to be the best that they can. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place that your faith to the Lord God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. Imagine that. Becoming followers of us and of the Lord. Why? Because they are following Christ. Having received the word in the affliction, they became examples to others. That takes self-control. And so we have to be able to remember that we are examples. This room is full of children. Praise God for that. And teenagers and young people. And they are watching every member. They are watching us. They're watching their parents. They're watching the congregation. They hear things. If things are unsettled, they'll hear it. And so, we need to become examples to all. And that takes control. You know, we need to see what an impact our life can have so that we don't need to say anything. Because what you're doing is sufficient. Because people see the difference in you. They see the life that you live. And Paul and his fellow workers set an excellent example for the new converts. And the new converts copied their example and became models to all congregations. Everybody around them could see that. Your children, brethren, will model on you when they're young. Now, when they're older, they're going to make choices. They will make them. I've 7 children, so I kind of see it first hand. They will make choices. And so what we want to do is set the perfect model we can for them, our children and youth. If we don't take God's standards seriously, neither will they. And if we don't accept God's word and treat it with such reverence, then we cannot expect them to do the same, and others might just follow. And then to end it, I want to say this. In order for us to develop this self-control, highest on the agenda is prayer. Pray about it. Because we need God at our side. In Luke 22:39, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter temptation. Powerful prayer. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he fell and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, who's this speaking? If it is your will, take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. Ah, perfect Jesus. He knows God's will and was tempted because he was flesh on this earth. And so he utilized the tools that he had that he knew would enable him to be able to control through and navigate through these temptations. He was God, yes, but he needed to pray God the weakness of flesh in order to take control and overcome all of that. And so we know this about Jesus' situation, brethren. He knew the word perfectly. Of course he did. He did God's will perfectly. Everything he did was to perfection. But he still prayed so he could steer the flesh. Keeping his human body under control required effort for our Savior. Otherwise, we couldn't say he was in the flesh. He knew what we go through. He knows what we go through. So make prayer critical in your life. We need, brethren, self-control. The Holy Spirit provides what we need. He provides the Word of God, 2 Peter 1:20. The Holy Spirit gives us what we need. He provides everything, Galatians 5, as we have read. Galatians 5, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. Remember, we said that they don't go. They don't go. It's not a perfect recipe. It's one or the other. And so therefore, it talks about that these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That takes self-control. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I pray that God will continue to guide us and give us strength. Romans 8, of course, 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's the warning. But by the Spirit, if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body and you will live. And I pray that each and every one of us will focus on this today. May we leave here today with a mindset on saying that I'm going to start taking some control and I'm going to start changing myself. It's not easy, but we're not alone in this battle. Brethren, the Holy Spirit works and He will help you to bring our bodies in line and bring us in harmony with our Holy God. God bless. Yeah. Let's have an invitation.